And I know. In the marrow where the years sit heavy, some cells learn how to outlast the crowd. They hum too bright, they pull.
Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So imagine your bone marrow is currently operating as a meticulously maintained garden.
Right, like a perfectly balanced ecosystem.
Exactly. For decades, it's lush, it's balanced, and it's reliably growing exactly what your body needs to survive. But right now, as you age, mutant weeds are actively overthrowing that internal ecosystem.
Yeah, and they don't just sit there quietly either.
No, they aggressively outcompete the healthy native plants, and they hoard all the resources. So what happens when these mutant cells hijack our entire blood system?
Well, suddenly you're facing a dramatically increased risk for severe heart disease and blood cancer.
Right. And more importantly, how could targeting their microscopic energy factories completely change the way we age? Okay, let's unpack this, because we have a fascinating stack of data today detailing how these rogue aging cells secure their power.
It really is a staggering reality to confront, you know, that our own internal supply chains can be so quietly and systematically overthrown without us ever feeling a single symptom.
Yeah, completely asymptomatic.
But understanding the exact mechanics of that takeover presents a profound therapeutic opportunity.
So our mission for today's deep dive is clear. We are exploring a brilliant 2025 open access article from Nature Communications. We're going to figure out the specific biological mechanisms mutant blood cells use to dominate our bone marrow as we age.
And, well, how scientists have engineered a brilliant Trojan horse method to destroy them from the inside out.
But before diving into the mechanics of this cellular Trojan horse, we should definitely recognize the scientific minds behind this discovery.
Absolutely. Today, we celebrate the work of Kira A. Young, Jennifer J. Trowbridge, and their extensive collaborative teams at the Jackson Laboratory, Prentice Margaret Cancer Center, Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and other leading institutions.
Yeah, they've really advanced our understanding of clonal hematopoiesis. The sheer scale of the tools they brought to this problem is just remarkable.
It's a massive collaborative effort spanning multiple disciplines. But to fully appreciate the elegance of their breakthrough, you first need to understand the biological villain of our story.
Right, we're looking at hematopoietic stem and progenitor cells, or HSPCs.
Exactly. You can conceptualize HSPCs as the master factory for your entire blood supply. Every single red blood cell carrying oxygen to your brain, every white blood cell fighting off an infection, they all originate from this single cellular population in your bone marrow.
And when you're young, that factory runs seamlessly. The stem cells divide, differentiate, and replenish your blood supply with perfect fidelity.
But as humans age, you know, these stem cells are forced to divide thousands of times. So statistically, they are bound to make typos in their genetic code during replication.
They acquire somatic mutations.
Yes, and the most common culprit we see in the human population is a mutation in a specific gene called DNMT3A. When a stem cell acquires this mutation, it triggers a condition known as clonal hematopoiesis, or CH.
And the terrifying part about clonal hematopoiesis is the massive fitness advantage the mutant cell gains.
Return to your garden analogy. It's that highly aggressive rogue weed.
Right. It begins cloning itself at an unnatural rate, just rapidly taking over the physical space and resources of the bone marrow.
What makes CH particularly insidious is that it isn't technically a disease in and of itself. I mean, it is a pre-disease state.
So you could have a massive clonal expansion happening inside your long bones right now and remain completely asymptomatic.
Exactly. However, harboring this massive army of mutant clones is strongly linked to severe age-related pathologies.
We're talking about a significantly increased statistical risk for cardiovascular disease, right?
Yeah, cardiovascular disease, hematologic malignancies, which are blood cancers like leukemia, and even systemic inflammatory bone loss. It acts as a foundational risk multiplier for your entire body.
I want to push back on an old scientific assumption here, though, which sets up why this new paper is so vital. Historically, the broader scientific community blamed inflammation for this takeover.
Right. The prevailing idea was that lifestyle factors like decades of smoking, obesity, chronic stress, created a highly inflammatory, toxic environment in the bone marrow.
Yeah, the assumption was simply that these mutant cells were just tougher. Like, they were better at surviving that toxic sludge than normal cells.
That was the running theory for a long time.
But if we know these cells still take over even in middle-aged environments without strong inflammation, what is the invisible force actually giving them the upper hand?
And that specific contradiction is what drove this research team into the lab. Because if inflammation isn't the primary bully clearing the path, there must be an inherent metabolic secret weapon the mutant cell possesses.
So to isolate that variable, the researchers utilized a highly sophisticated murine model of clonal hematopoiesis.
They engineered mice with the exact DNMT3A mutation that is most prevalent in humans. Crucially, to strip away the confounding variable of chronic inflammation, they simulated a middle-aged bone marrow environment using an IGF-1 deficiency model.
Let's break down that IGF-1 model. Insulin-like growth factor 1 naturally declines in humans and mice as we get older.
Right, so by genetically knocking down IGF-1 in these mice, the researchers can instantly simulate the older, less supportive soil of an aging bone marrow garden.
And they can do that without having to wait 2 years for a mouse to naturally age and develop random inflammatory diseases.
Which isolated the environment perfectly. They had middle-aged bone marrow containing both healthy wild-type stem cells and the mutant DNMT3A cells.
To see how these two populations competed, they deployed an incredibly innovative suite of technologies. The first was the Seahorse Extracellular Metabolic Flux Assay.
Yes, which physically measures a cell's oxygen consumption rate in real time.
I have always loved the Seahorse Assay. If you want to visualize how this works, imagine taking single microscopic cells and putting them on a tiny cellular treadmill.
That's a great way to picture it.
You attach a miniature breathing mask to them and force the cells to run. The scientists can then measure exactly how much oxygen their internal engines, their mitochondria, are burning while they sprint.
And it measures their metabolic baseline and their absolute maximum capacity.
Yeah.
But knowing how much fuel a cell burns doesn't tell you what kind of machinery is burning it.
Right.
To figure that out, they paired the Seahorse test with the CNETH assay. CNETH stands for Single Cell Energetic Metabolism by Profiling Translation Inhibition.
It is such a brilliant technique because protein translation, the actual physical building of cellular components, costs an immense amount of energy.
Exactly. The CNETH assay involves hitting the cells with specific metabolic inhibitors, blocking pathways like glycolysis or mitochondrial respiration.
And then measuring how rapidly their protein building shuts down using puromycin incorporation. It's like shutting off the natural gas line to a house.
That's a perfect analogy.
If the lights immediately go out, you know the house was reliant on a gas generator. If the lights stay on, well, you know they must be running on solar panels.
The CNETH assay lets the researchers see exactly which metabolic pathway these mutant cells rely on to survive, which brings us to the molecular level.
They had the metabolic data, but they needed to trace it back to the original genetic typo.
For that, they used whole genome bisulfite sequencing to map the DNA methylation across the entire genome.
They were looking at the cells from every conceivable angle, how they breathe, what fuel they depend on, and how their genetics are physically tagged and folded.
Let's unpack the bisulfite sequencing because it is crucial for understanding the results.
Yeah.
DNA methylation is the process of putting chemical sticky notes on specific genes that say, do not read.
It completely silences the gene.
Exactly. Bisulfite sequencing uses a chemical reaction that converts normal, unmethylated cytosine letters into uracil, but leaves the methylated silenced cytosines completely untouched.
So when you sequence it afterward, you can literally read a map of every single missing sticky note across the entire genome.
Having established this multi-layered surveillance of the cells, the researchers ran the tests. And on the metabolic treadmill, the mutant cells completely outclassed the normal ones.
The data showed the DNMT3A mutant cells exhibited much higher maximal respiration and significantly higher spare respiratory capacity.
Compared to the healthy wild-type cells from the exact same bone marrow environment, yeah.
They were like cellular sports cars racing against sedans.
And the CNETH assay confirmed this by showing a massive reliance on mitochondrial respiration over basic glycolysis.
But why? I mean, how does a single DNA typo turn a stem cell into a metabolic powerhouse?
The whole genome bisulfite sequencing provided the answer by revealing the mechanism. DNMT3A is a DNA methyltransferase.
Its singular biological job is to place those chemical sticky notes, the methyl groups, onto DNA to silence specific genes.
Right, it is an epigenetic regulator. When the mutation breaks DNMT3A, you get a systemic loss of these silencing tags, a state we call hypomethylation.
The cellular breaks are cut, the sticky notes just fall off.
Without those silencing tags, specific genes that are supposed to be tightly regulated are accidentally left in the permanently on position.
Wow.
And by cross-referencing the methylation maps with RNA sequencing, the researchers pinpointed a specific gene called COX-7A2.
And because this gene was stuck on due to the missing epigenetic tags, it forced the mutant mitochondria to alter their physical structure. COX-7A2-ol promotes the assembly of respiratory chain supercomplexes.
Which is just a beautiful piece of cellular engineering.
It really is. Normally, the different protein complexes that handle electron transport inside the mitochondria float around somewhat independently.
But COX-7A2-ol physically snaps these complexes together into a single massive megastructure, a supercomplex.
It's the difference between a bucket brigade passing electrons by hand versus building a sealed high-speed conveyor belt.
That physical reorganization prevents electron leakage and massively increases the efficiency of the proton pumps.
By pumping so many protons across the inner mitochondrial membrane, the mutant cell generates an unusually high electrical charge.
It builds an extreme mitochondrial membrane potential, often denoted as delta SEM.
That extreme voltage is their invisible superpower. They don't need inflammation to clear the way.
No, they simply generate so much clean, efficient power that they can rapidly divide and outcompete the healthy native cells in the aging bone marrow garden.
Having identified the mechanism, the researchers recognized a profound vulnerability. Because in biology, you know, extreme adaptations often create extreme dependencies.
The researchers hypothesized that this massively hyperpolarized membrane potential could act as a target. So they looked at a therapeutic molecule called MitoQ.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's look at the chemistry of MitoQ because it acts as our Trojan horse.
MitoQ is a long-chain alkyl TPP molecule.
The crucial feature here is the TPP triphenylphosphonium. It is a lipophilic cation.
That means it is highly attracted to fatty lipid membranes, but it carries a strong, permanent positive charge.
And the physics of that positive charge are what make this discovery so viable.
Right. The interior of any healthy functioning mitochondrion has a negative charge, which naturally draws in positively charged molecules.
But remember, the mutant DNMT3A cells have built those supercomplexes. Their membrane potential is significantly more negative than a healthy cell.
According to the Nernst equation, for every 61.5 millivolts of increased membrane potential, a lipophilic cation like MitoQ will accumulate at 10 times the concentration.
So the mutant cell's superpower is essentially a giant lightning rod.
The very thing that gives the rogue cell its aggressive advantage, that massive electrical charge, is exactly what attracts the lethal accumulation of the MitoQ treatment.
The researchers proved this phenomenon directly. Using liquid chromatography mass spectrometry, they track the physical location of the MitoQ molecules inside the cells.
The normal stem cells, with their regular engines, absorbed a tiny, manageable amount of MitoQ.
While the mutant cells, driven by their hypopolarized membranes, pulled in staggering concentrations of the drug,
accumulating it almost exclusively inside their mitochondria.
And once that massive payload of MitoQ piles up inside the mutant mitochondria, it shifts from being a molecule to a physical wrecking ball.
The localized concentration becomes so dense that it disrupts the physical integrity of the inner mitochondrial membrane.
The mass spectrometry data correlated perfectly with real-time cellular imaging showing the mutant mitochondria physically swelling.
They lose their membrane potential entirely. The cellular transition pours open, releasing cytochrome CD into the cytosol, and, well, it triggers a massive cascade of apoptosis.
The cell realizes its power grid has catastrophically melted down and initiates programmed cell death. It destroys itself.
The in vivo results were remarkable. When they treated the living, middle-aged mice with MitoQ, it completely ablated the competitive advantage of the mutant cells.
It specifically wiped out the rogue clones expanding in the bone marrow.
And to ensure this wasn't just a quirk of mouse biology, they tested the exact same approach in human DNMT3A knockdown cellular models.
They observed the exact same targeted destruction. The mutant human cells died, and the healthy, normal human cells sitting right next to them were left completely unharmed.
Achieving that kind of selectivity is the holy grail of molecular therapy. You successfully eliminate the bad actors without dropping a bomb on the innocent bystanders.
Which naturally leads us to look at the broader landscape of aging and disease. Is this extreme mitochondrial polarization just a unique parlor trick of the DNMT3A mutation, or is it a broader theme in aging?
The research team asked that exact question. They expanded their analysis to look at other genetic mutations that commonly drive clonal hematopoiesis, specifically mutations in the genes TET2 and SLM1.
And their findings indicate that this supercharged mitochondrial state is likely a universal survival mechanism.
Regardless of which specific epigenetic regulator breaks, when stem cells attempt to survive and dominate an aging bone marrow environment, ramping up their mitochondrial membrane potential seems to be a foundational strategy.
This implies that our Trojan horse approach might work for a whole spectrum of precancerous mutations, not just an isolated genetic anomaly.
That completely changes the landscape for clinical applications. But we do have to address the clinical reality here. Clonal hematopoiesis is a pre-disease state.
Right, the patient is totally asymptomatic.
If a physician is going to prescribe a preventative drug to clear out these mutant cells, the safety profile has to be immaculate.
You cannot give someone harsh systemic chemotherapy simply to prevent a heart attack they might suffer a decade later.
Safety is the absolute critical hurdle for any preventative prophylactic medicine. And this is where this specific research shines.
Because MitoQ and similar TPP-based compounds are not experimental, unknown chemical entities.
No, they've already been rigorously evaluated in human phase 2 clinical trials for other inflammatory and metabolic conditions.
They have been administered to humans for up to 6 weeks at a time with almost no significant side effects. They are remarkably well tolerated by human biology.
Right, which makes this highly promising.
Wait, I have to stop you there because I've seen MitoQ heavily marketed online. Isn't MitoQ sold right now commercially as an antioxidant supplement specifically meant to help aging cells?
Yes, it is.
How can it heal normal cells while acting as a targeted, lethal bomb for the mutant ones? That feels like a massive biological contradiction.
It seems paradoxical on the surface, but it all comes down to the laws of physics and the concept of dose accumulation.
We have to separate the chemical properties of the molecule from the physical accumulation driven by the membrane potential.
In a normal, healthy stem cell, MitoQ enters the mitochondria in very small, manageable concentrations. At those low levels, the ubiquinone part of the molecule acts exactly as advertised.
It acts as an antioxidant.
Right, neutralizing reactive oxygen species, reducing oxidative stress, and providing the healthy cell with a metabolic boost. It genuinely supports the wild-type stem cells as they age.
So the normal cell just gets a highly protective metabolic cup of coffee.
The mutant cell experiences something entirely different. Because of its hypercharged membrane potential, it doesn't take a sip. It pulls in the compound relentlessly.
The mutant cell actively imports so much MitoQ that it essentially overdoses on it.
At those massive localized concentrations, the physical structure of the long-chain molecule physically disrupts the lipid bilayer. It stops functioning as an antioxidant and becomes a structural toxin.
The cell's own energetic greed dictates whether the exact same molecule acts as a medicine or a poison.
That is a stunning piece of biological exploitation. You are using the rogue cell's own aggressive metabolism to deliver its execution order.
The immediate next step for clinical translation is establishing the specific dosing parameters.
Researchers need to define the perfect treatment regimen in humans, the Goldilocks dose and duration, that reliably prunes away the mutant CH cells over time.
And continues to support the healthy cells via antioxidant effects, all without causing any long-term toxicity to other highly metabolic tissues like the heart or the brain.
If researchers can dial in that dosing window, you could theoretically take a targeted pill for a few weeks every couple of years just to weed your bone marrow garden.
Resetting your risk profile for cardiovascular disease and leukemia back to zero.
To synthesize the core breakthrough of this paper mutant blood stem cells dominate aging bone marrow by physically reorganizing their respiratory supercomplexes. This generates a dangerously high mitochondrial membrane potential. However, this exact metabolic strength becomes their fatal biological flaw, allowing targeted, positively charged molecules to hyperaccumulate inside them and selectively trigger their destruction, leaving healthy cells untouched.
So, what does this all mean for the future of preventative medicine? If we can safely prune away dangerous mutant cells decades before they ever have the chance to evolve into systemic cancer or trigger a heart attack, what really is the limit on healthy human aging?
It's an incredible thought.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science bass by bass.
And I know, in the marrow of the years sit heavy. Some cells learn how to outlast the crowd. They hum too bright, they pull power steady, like a hidden wire turned up too loud. A single switch in the letters we carry loosens the locks on the nighttime code. So the engines rise and the charge runs wary. A high tension road. Turn that voltage to zero, let the bright line fade. If you live by the spark, you can't dodge the blade. We aim for the pull that you can't replace. Drop the membrane sky, watch the clone lose its place. Turn that voltage to zero. Clean and clear, yeah, yeah. A future in the dark, ooh, 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 that we don't have to fear, yeah, yeah. Screens glow green with a steep oxygen climb. Spare capacity like a secret reserve, but the same hot charge buys borrowed time. And a targeted key can make it swerve. Long chain messenger riding the gradient in. Finding the rooms where the charge is high. Shuts down the breath as the leak begin. Opens the gate, mitochondria sigh. Mitochondria side. Turn that voltage to zero, let the bright line fade. If you live by the spark, you can't dodge the blade. We aim for the pool that you can't replace. Drop the membrane sky, watch the clone lose its place. Turn that voltage to zero. Hold the line, yeah, yeah. From crowded marrow to a cleaner time, yeah, yeah.